These are the Agents of Cool, coming to you from the front of the Regal Cinemas in Lexington, Kentucky on Saturday, July 29th, 2017, where we've just been back in time about 28 years to watch Charlize Theron tear apart a bunch of KGB goons in East Berlin in Atomic Blonde. This is your Grumpy Number 6, as always, reporting with...
This is Peel.
And...
Ray.
So we've just seen Atomic Blonde. Are we thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Now, strictly speaking, now this is our second microdot. We did one of these back when Spectre came out a couple of years ago. We're doing this one for Atomic Blonde. Straight up, if you want a plot that makes what you and I commonly call sense, then maybe this one isn't for you. But there's all kinds of spy stuff, and it's East Berlin, and it's the Cold War, and it's just about as Cold War a spy movie traditional as you can possibly get. Charlize Theron plays Lorraine Broughton, who's an agent for MI6, who is being sent undercover in Berlin to recover a list of undercover agents and to possibly suss out the identity of a Russian double agent known as Satchel.
Yep, and along the way, there is a great deal of bloody violence.
Yeah, if you have an aversion to blood or sharp metal objects being stuck in people's organs in alphabetical order, this is not the movie for you. But if you want a late 80s period piece, you know, follow the Berlin Wall, Cold War, neon-drenched style piece, oh yeah, this delivers in spades.
Don't go for it to make sense, because you're going to make sure you watch it right through the very end, and it's still gonna not going to make a whole bunch of sense. You're going to be standing around in the lobby, outside the theater, trying to parse it out afterwards, like we just did. But don't think for a second that's going to harm your enjoyment of the film. There are three or four different set pieces in the film that are just staggering in their virtuosity. The action choreography will knock your socks off. There's something like an 8 or 10 minute scene that takes place in the stairwell, which is one freaking take. It's astonishing. It's jaw-dropping. Charlize Theron commands the screen. If you liked Mad Max Fury Road a couple of years ago, that was an appetizer, brothers.
I wouldn't put this as good as Fury Road. Fury Road, I think, is a whole other class.
But okay, better movie, but Charlize Theron holds the freaking screen.
If
you liked her as an action presence, I believe that she personally ups her game here
dramatically. I don't know. They're two very different movies. I'd have to go,
Well, it's not about which one's the different
movies.
But in terms
of
which one
is she at the better screen presence? I mean, she's, well...
Okay. I gotta say this.
She's on camera a lot more in this one.
Okay, well, she owns the movie. I mean, the other one, there's other things. There's there's your Doof Warrior. There's the girls. There's the cars. There's the trucks. But she is at the center of almost every scene in this movie, and she just holds it together wonderfully.
Yes.
Not that this is new for Charlize Theron, but the levels of bodily damage that she undergoes and kind of shows off over the course of this movie are somewhat unusual when you get a statuesque and beautiful actress as your lead.
Yeah, that is one kind of thing. She doesn't really get any more cut up, beat up, and bruised than, say, Bruce Willis does in Die Hard.
I was going to say the exact
thing. But because it's a female lead, it stands out more. I don't know.
We are not used to seeing female action leads take this kind of hurt and keep moving. And I think that's fantastic. It really helps to set this apart. She takes the damage and keeps on trekking.
Now, to the plot, don't go take a bathroom break. Don't order the large mega soda all for yourself. Don't, maybe go for decaf. Do not miss any scene in this movie, because, we really apparently should have brought a whiteboard and tried to map this out, surface and line, flash time travel style in the lobby.
Some index cards, or maybe put some post-it notes up on the seat in front of you.
It's an action film, but this is the last day of Cold War Berlin, so divided loyalties, who the heck is on whose side, is all there, and the questions get answered, but maybe not until the very last second.
And really, this is kind of your Bourne movie meets your Cold War Forest of Mirrors movie. Maybe he was a bit more towards the Bourne side in terms of action, but it very much is of a piece trying to get the atmosphere of, you don't know who you can trust, why are you doing, why do spies do this, who are you really working for, does any of the big game really even matter? And take it on those terms, it succeeds masterfully in just, I think, getting that feel, getting that tone across there. Does that mean you necessarily get clean answers to everything? Bring a whiteboard, circles and lines maybe, but overall, I felt it was eminently entertaining.
You do get a ton of 80s soundtrack music. It's like if you grew up in the 80s with MTV, this is like a warm homecoming for you. You get lots and lots of neon-soaked visuals. It looks like a Patrick Nagel painting come to life. And you do get to see Charlize Theron making out with the Blade Runner from Kingsman. So there's that. All right. So that's a definite thumbs up from us at Agents of Cool. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
I don't think we were done there. I think we just were trying to follow up that last bit there.
I couldn't think of anything else to say.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Let's be honest, you're not going to mind.
It goes well beyond making out.
Yeah.
You're not going to mind, all right?
Well beyond.
No, you need to at least hint at it. You don't see that in the spy movie. You don't see that part in the spy movie very often.